there if my sister is over and met from my like that sort of that's. And she said she's at home. And it says her address.
Like Janelle Howard thing and.
Gary has the flip phone, so it doesn't work.
Well, yeah, he's gotta move up to.
I know. Who needs to have one of them, man?
No.
He lays out in New York, and I don't even know.
Well, I don't feel more anxious for him on Civic Reaper than his neighbors.
So I found out today my opponent in Europe.
Talk about it.
All right, Richard, you can start the meeting whenever you're ready.
Okay, we'll call the meeting to order. This is the regular commission meeting for the Port of Brooklyn Harbor, Wednesday, April 19th, 2023. Join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hey, Danielle, roll call, please.
Larry.
Here.
Ken.
Here.
Sharon.
Here.
Joe.
Here.
Richard.
Here. Are there any modifications, additions, or changes to the agenda?
No.
No.
Anybody need to declare a potential conflict of interest?
No.
Okay. Then I'd entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda as written.
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. For a motion to approve the meeting minutes from the regular commission meeting from Wednesday, March 15th.
Motion to approve the minute meetings from Wednesday, March 15th.
I second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. I have no public comment forms in front of me. Is anybody online, Danielle?
I did not receive any public comments.
Okay. That moves us into the management and financial report, beginning with management report.
Okay. In the RV park, all sites are now open and available starting March 25th. Back row fences were either fixed or rebuilt, along with 10 new picnic tables for the new sites and to replace older broken ones. I did change my graph there for the beachfront. You can tell why it's closed. We sustained a pretty substantial hit when it was closed. In the marina, staff completed installation of new power cords to J-Dock. Galmer Electric came out to make connections and to turn power back on. Customers that were affected will be notified and moved back to their original slips. Dock walks and boat checks continue almost daily due to weather conditions. Dancing windsocks were placed out on J-Dock for sea lion deterrent. Our 1200Z water sampling was completed and sent to Grants Pass Water Lab. Port staff, along with county maintenance crew, completed sediment removal in the catch basin located at the hotel parking lot. Port staff put our turbidity curtain and monitored the outfall while county removed the material. A new modem for the launch machine was installed and is now operational. I redid my graph also for the boat launches. And then I did separately the trailer storage and the daily moorage. That's on the lower one. When I put them all together, it looked weird because we don't have very many trailer storages. Equipment services, telehandler work. We did four different jobs. We had one haul out. Commercial receiving docks. The public hoist is operational and visually inspected by port staff. Hallmark, Borenstein, and Pacific Seafood, Old Dock are operational. And the new Pacific Seafood dock, we'll be looking at adding cleats on the dock for better tie-up locations. Commercial retail building, asphalt patching throughout the retail and launch ramp area, crew support concrete slurry in the excavated areas, and final asphalt patching will happen when weather permits. The sheriff's station will be adding some new security to their building along with a wall to separate the areas of the station. Beacon Broadband has finished up boring holes and getting conduit ran to their locations. They have had many of our tenants ask for their service, and now Beacon will start getting services turned on to the individual tenant locations. Maintenance crew completed 96 work orders for the month. Their main focus of their activities was on the RV park, installing site dividers and rebuilding fences. Monthly vessel inventory, gear storage, and sewer system checks were completed. Office staff worked together to create our 23-24 budget. The draft has been sent to our financial consultant for review. We received minor corrections, and that draft will be ready for the budget committee to review. Any questions?
Just make one comment on the sea lion.
Yeah.
So after we met here last time, we went over to the South Coast Fisherman, and we had the OFW pinniped specialist come and give us a little talk. And she was talking specifically about the diet habits of those sea lions because she took scat from them. It's almost exclusively herring. So that kind of explains why they're here. They follow the herring in here when they're in the harbor, and not just outside, and then when they're gone, so are they. So I thought that was interesting. She gave us a pretty interesting talk, actually. So anyway, I just thought I'd mention that because that I've had people ask me, well, what are all those sea lions doing here?
And they're males.
I think ODF&W said their peak count they saw that were down on our docks was 263. On K dog.
Mm-hmm. And they're all males.
I didn't know that, but yeah.
The females stay back with their pups and they leave the area so they have more food and then they come here.
They breed in pup in Southern California, so they're mm-hmm. either the boys coming up here to the bar.
Coming up to play.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very interesting. Yeah.
No other questions?
No.
Okay.
Your report's good.
You want to read yours? You want me to do it? Safety, security, and environmental summary. Safety, port staff discussed ergonomics. Incidents, Port of Brookings recorded 3 incidents for the month of March, bringing the total to 11. One was an individual walking around the port gear storage. The individual lit a flare, but quickly went out of our sight of cameras. We didn't hear anything else about it. A citizen actually called me and told me that. A patron stated his gas was siphoned, looked at security footage, but cannot see for a period of time due to rain on the cameras. Port staff assisted the Curry County Sheriff's with retrieving video footage regarding a crew member that had gone missing. Security, 4-8 to Security Solutions recorded 16 security issues for the month of March, bringing the total to 57. And environmental, DEQ 1200Z permit, monthly inspections were completed as required. Storm testing was completed during the recent storms. That was our second of 4 tests for this year. We found 2 vehicles with gas cans in the back of their trucks that had leaked onto the asphalt and leaked into the marina. The National Response Center was notified of the incident. Questions? All right, April, you're up.
Okay, so our financial summary report for the month of March, our unrestricted cash and equivalents totaled $376,090. Our restricted cash and equivalents totaled $574,408. Our total checking and savings is $1,016,526. The port did receive a $15,500 reimbursement from SDIS for that piling replacement project that we did in February.
So just so everybody knows on that, that piling was completely covered except our $5,000 deductible.
Right. Total revenue for all funds for the month of March is $304,349. Total expenses were $437,040. Our net income for March was a negative $132,691. Part of that was $77,500 to IFA for our quarterly payment. And then we have some fuel purchases that we still got in the tank that we're just waiting to sell. Total income for all funds is currently at 50.9%. General fund revenues are at 66.4%. Total expenditures for all funds is currently at 41.1%, and general fund expenditures at 65.5%. And then I've attached all the reports. I don't know if you need to go over them.
So when you're talking the percentages, is that the percentage of the annual budget?
It is, from July 1st to, through today, so through Monday when I ran these reports.
Okay. All right, any questions, comments?
No. I reviewed the financial report. It was very good.
And some of these,
right line.
Along with some of these negatives that we're seeing with our total income, is also because we submitted $50,000 to FEMA for reimbursement for our FEMA projects, and we're still waiting for EPA to release our money so we can get reimbursed from that money. So there's a fair amount of money out that we're waiting to get reimbursed on that we will be getting back soon. So it's well over $100,000.
Well, it's going to be awkward if it comes in the next fiscal year. If you spend it here and it comes in the next year, that...
It's a big reason why I'm trying to drag my feet a little bit on the supplemental budget so we can get that money back in. So it's finalized and done, and we're not trying to deal with it into the next budget season, which will just require another supplemental budget.
Yeah, I'd delay that supplemental budget right up till the last day if you can, because that's why we have them, for just this kind of reason. When you spend money here and you're waiting to be reimbursed and it doesn't come in,
we'll be doing it mid to late June is when we'll get it.
I promise you, if they had a fiscal year deadline, you'd hear about it. Okay. Entertain a motion to accept the report.
I make a motion to accept the management and financial reports as discussed.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Okay, that brings us to our action item, starting with action item A, which is the El Cazadores lease or buy option.
Okay, so we talked about this in the last meeting. We didn't have a full board, so an impasse? So we decided to bring it back to this meeting, or we had a full board so we could make a final decision on which way to go with this property. Is there any questions about what we're talking about, what's coming up as far as what we're trying to do with this property? Okay.
All right. Any discussion?
Yeah, I'll restate my comments on it. This is a positive asset of the port. It's income property that helps pay our other bills. The new owners were aware that it was property of the port, and they had been renting it. The previous owner had been renting it all along or leasing it. We're giving them the opportunity of a very fair lease, and I will not support selling any port assets, especially when that helps pay our bills.
Okay, I'll repeat my comments. I think this is a situation that is unusual in that it appears it was created somehow, in error, in my opinion, that piece of property should have bought that building as closely as it does. And because of that, I think it's created a hardship for people that own the building. It will be a continual issue for that business going down the road. I'm in some agreement with Ken. I don't think we ought to be selling port assets, but I think we need to look at the asset itself and make the decision based on each one. I mean, we talked about the motorcycle shop last time and whether we were going to hang on to that building or not. And given the conditions, it appeared that we didn't want to do that. So in this circumstance, I do support the sale of this to clean that piece up so that we don't have this dangling piece of property there that we really can't use. The most we can do with it is to get a monthly lease on it. I don't think, I mean, we're not in business to make other businesses thrive, but in this case, I think we've got a pretty unusual circumstance for those people that are that own that building now, trying to figure out what we're going to all do with this. So for those reasons, I'd support selling.
I guess I'll restate mine. if we sell it, it's going to sell for 52, and our net out of that, my understanding is probably going to be around 10 to 7 to 10. If we keep it and we rent it, it's going to generate $5,400 a year. And I don't think it's our responsibility to make that business whole. They bought it as is.
I'd like to clarify one thing. That property is attached to our existing property. It's not a separate, isolated piece. That's all I have.
Okay. Would you care to make a motion?
I'll make a motion. Option number two, motion to approve to the court manager to work with legal counsel to create a purchase-sale agreement for full asking price and have the court manager contact Business Oregon for release for the lien on the documentation.
Okay. For a second.
I second it.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, Danielle?
Larry?
No.
Ken?
No.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Okay, that moves us to item B. Well, before we leave that, well, Travis, you need to talk to the attorney about this.
I need to talk to the attorney. I need to first and foremost, I'm going to get a hold of Business Oregon. So we're not, last time we were waiting on Business Oregon. So this time I want to get everything sewed up so I can go to the title company together and I'll work with James. And I have talked to James about this property sale. Port staff is going to do most of it. We'll probably have him create the purchase sale agreement. Mm-hmm. But as far as dealing with the title company and all that, we had them do previously. That our staff will do that just to cut some costs. We don't have a lot of profit margin in this one, so
right.
We'll do it. It'll take some time. And hopefully by the end of this fiscal year, we can probably have it wrapped up, but I'm just going to let this develop, and when it's done, then I'll bring it to you guys.
So the funds that we will receive from this, where do they go? They go on the reserve
80% fund? Of the money will go directly to IFA. And go towards our debt payments, and then 20% of it will be held into our reserve fund.
Okay, action item B, port rates.
So port rates, so we have talked about this in two other previous meetings. Again, I am looking to get approval so we can get these implemented by July 1st when it changes. Landing fees is one thing that's still in red here that was added last month. That is for 1 cent per pound on crab and a half a cent per pound for fish and shrimp or any other species that come across our dock, and that will be paid by anything unloaded over any hoist at the Port of Brooklyn. There's any questions, concerns, any other rates you guys have had time to look at them that you want to talk about? Now it's done.
Do we require all landings to occur on using hoist?
Yes. We haven't formally. We did allow when we didn't have a public hoist for the smaller boats to be able to unload, basically pack their product up the ramp because we didn't have a public hoist. That when that was allowed, that was based upon until a new public hoist was available for people to use. So any product that's brought through the Port of Brookings is to be unloaded at a hoist. Yes.
How do you enforce that? I just watched 10 garbage cans last week go up the ramp. There's no way.
Who? You're not supposed to be doing that. You're not supposed to be packing stuff up ramps. We have public hoists. Being this business the way it had been for so long, it's probably relevant for us to bring it back to a meeting and, you know, discuss what that rule is intended to be, get it back put into effect, and probably update some signage at the docks.
No, the amount, is that going to be locked in, or is that anytime you guys want to raise the how much it is, like every other year, all of a sudden it's
right now,
up and up and up?
Right now it is just based upon our rates that could be subjected to rate increases. But again, when we go through our rates and things, there's definitely rates that we don't raise. We keep going the same. But being that it's a rate and we go over our rates publicly, all of those are open for discussion, but do not necessarily are all applied. All rate increases are not applied to the rates all the time.
And that fee is not going in the general fund, right, Travis?
No. So the landing fee, I kind of should have done that first. So the landing fee will be placed into our reserve fund. We will be discussing a resolution. In the reserve fund, there is a line item that is marked for landing fees. That money will be for future dock repairs and dock maintenance at our docks. Reason being is that most of you that do deliver have seen Hallmark, have seen we have one, the old Pacific Seafood dock has been closed and condemned for 5-6 years now. The north end of the Pacific Seafood dock is rotting away. We are kind of blessed to have a steel wall where our public hoist is and where another unloading is. Those have drainage issues. You know, every dock comes with a little bit different problem. And this port has never established a landing fee. It's been talked about before, but the reason I'm bringing it to it is that we have no funds set aside for when these docks break, fall apart. You know, if there's a grant opportunity that comes up, we have nothing set aside to be able to dedicate money to those areas. And unfortunately, if there's any catastrophic breaks, things that happen that render it unusable, at this point in time, they're going to be closed. That whoever's leasing it will have to, you know, find elsewhere, which is, I don't think anybody wants to get ourselves to that position. So I think if we can get something established now, I don't expect any of this money to be spent for a couple of years. We're going to have to build a pot of money. And then being that it's in our reserve fund, that will have to come back to the board. We'll have to talk about what it is because it will take board action for that money to come out of the reserve fund.
This only has to do with commercial vessels. It's not the charter boats. They don't pay to come up. They can bring their product up with a wheelie and a cart or a sport fisherman can.
Yeah.
No problem. You know. Okay.
I think it's important to talk about a little bit more about really the rationale behind having this pot of money. I don't think it's any of our expectation we're going to have enough money in there to rebuild those docks, but I think what we can expect is that we will have money in there that can help us as match for grants, which I think is the most important thing for us to have.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now we're in the, Congress seems to be in the infrastructure business these days. They want to rebuild everything. Well, that's fine. Let's ride that horse and just make sure we've got the match set aside. So if we took in $50,000 next year, then we can leverage that into $200,000 potentially, depending on the match requirement. So that's, I think, realistically what we're really trying to do is have available cash for minor repairs and then match money for the bigger issues if it comes up. I mean, there's no way we're going to probably realize $2 or $3 million out of that in time to stay ahead of the problem of deterioration. So we're going to have to do some sort of creative funding to use that.
But. Right. But
it's a start. It's a start, and it's through most of the projects, you know, that we're getting ready to do right now, we're leaning on them being 100% funded. That's the situation this port's in right now as far as moving forward with big projects, is that the matching funds have to be taken care of. And that's not a very common thing to have happen for grants and other things that are not disaster related. That's the purpose, and I think it'll be a good thing for the future of the port to be able to start doing it now and make sure our future is somewhat secured as far as our receiving docks.
Well, I think it's a continuing commitment to the fleet that, listen, we want to keep this a working port. So we've got to invest in the infrastructure it takes to do that, and certainly landing docks are key to that. So. By doing this and then having a resolution, I think at least this commission is signaling its willing, its stated goal that we want to keep this an active fishing port. And as opposed to, well, I won't go into detail about California, but having it become a yacht harbor sort of thing. So.
And for those of you who don't know, this Lance, I'm going to kind of put you out there, Lance from Bornstein, and Brett, most of you guys know. So that's two of our three receiving docks that are here. So do you guys have anything else you guys want to say on this?
Naturally, we're against it. You know, it costs the city a lot of money to do business in this port. We have several leases. That's what I was going to ask. We own three buildings. Can we buy some land? No. Ultimately, you talk about the fleet. Ultimately, we're going to pass this along to the fleet.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like I said, it costs a lot of money to do business in Brookings, Oregon.
We've got to truck everything. Well, they don't, but we do. You know, and the cost. We didn't buy much shrimp here last year because the cost has gone up so much of trucking and doing everything. So,
how much it cost you guys in Crescent City?
I know the boats pay for them.
I don't think it comes that well.
Yeah, they pay for the trucking, but I do believe it's 2.2 cents per pound to the port of Crescent City.
Yeah, I thought it was only a penny.
No, it comes kind of more down. It depends what it is.
Different rates for different
species. A lot of the,
I ain't going to say, you told me, but it comes up to a total of 6.6 cents.
It comes out to right at seven, close to 7 cents.
Yeah.
But that's the federal buyback for the government for the dragon.
That's all done in California, most of
yeah.
All except for the dragon.
And that's been in place since like 2002,
yeah.
And also in that port, we passed that.
6.6 on the average, I do know that.
Well,
and I'm not arguing with you guys.
No, I'm just saying that's.
It's not your fault, it's not our fault.
No.
This is all handed down to us from
as a company,
50 years ago.
Myself, I think it's great.
You know, like I say, it's just kind of a weird cash 22. I mean, you know, you guys need the money, we know that, it's obvious.
Well, I think that. I mean, I don't know how everybody runs their business, but I think in my own accounts, I have a maintenance fund that I put into every month for a new roof or whatever I might need. And if we realize this is coming out of the fisherman's pocket, you guys are going to pass that on. We know that, but I think we're kind of trying to set the stage here for the long term, the big picture, which is what we're looking for. And you know, we're trying to, I don't know how to put this nicely, but well, we're trying to position this port a little differently than it has been in the past, where we're not, I mean, we've got our finances in great shape. These folks know exactly what we got coming in and what we got going out. We have all these accounts, so we can do these kind of things now, whereas before it would have just kind of been just throw in the black hole and hope it's there when we need it kind of thing, but that's not the case anymore. So I think, to me, I think that this is a forward-looking opportunity for us to kind of get ourselves positioned properly.
Yeah, but not running the general fund, I'm a little more for it that way.
Well, that's why we also decided that it would be, and we're going to do this next, do a resolution.
Mm-hmm.
Now, resolutions are only binding as long as they're binding. They can be changed by future commissions. But we wanted to send a strong signal down the road that when we talked about this, here's what we talked about. It wasn't, this isn't going to, you know, send Travis to Hawaii for a meeting or something. This is intended specifically for maintenance of those docks.
I remember that commission.
Okay, any further on that? Okay, you need a motion on that, probably?
I make a motion to approve the proposed port rates for FY 2023-24, effective July 1 of 2023.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion to second. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. All right, that brings us to resolution 2023-02, the landing fee resolution.
So this is a resolution adopting the landing fee rates. You'll see in the draft that I know I handed out to you guys, I know there was a typo with the, it said 5 cents instead of a half a cent. So I did catch those letters before they went to your company heads, so that was corrected before they received it.
I emailed them and I got a quick response.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. You will see, as we talked before, this resolution does not have the rate in it, because it will be subjected to our other rates that could be changed. So this is the resolution is saying where it's going and what its intended use is, but the fees, but the actual rate, because if we change the rates, then I'd have to adopt a new resolution with those rates versus this is what our plan for the money is. It's going to our reserve fund, and we didn't lock it in with a number because it is subjected to change.
I must not be looking at the right thing, because I'm looking at resolution 2023 that does have the fees in it.
Did we update it on the
recommended motion? Right here. On the resolution, action item C.
Action item C.
I thought I updated it for. No, it's correct. It shows it in your cover sheet.
Oh, I see.
But
okay.
In that resolution itself, it doesn't show.
Gotcha. Okay. I was looking at the wrong thing. Okay. Sorry. Okay.
Motion.
Anybody like to do a motion on item C?
Sure. I'll make the motion to approve draft resolution number 2023-02, adopting landing fee rate.
I second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Okay, that brings us to action item D, resolution 2023-03, port rates.
So this is the resolution adopting the 2023 port rate that we just approved.
Motion to approve draft resolution number 2023-03, port rates fiscal year 2023-24.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Okay, that brings us to item E, McLennan excavation payment request number 8.
Okay, so this payment is for the month of March for work completed, $26,522. This will not be the last payment. The only payment left is the retainage, which will be paid to them after all inspections, everything's finalized, done, and done. As far as anything extra, any extra grading, anything that we look at that we might want, that's not paid until it is completely finished. We are still waiting on the final inspection. So that won't be paid until that's completed, which would be a remainder of $37,727.50.
Okay.
That's included the reimbursement from them?
Yes, this was actually reflected on the second page on the top left part portion of it under deductions. You'll see line item number 5. There's on the deduction side, there's $5,000 deducted.
I have one question.
Yes.
Where do we stand with Crow and Clay?
We're pretty much wrapped up with them. The only thing left that I'm just not sure that we would have anything charged to us, because I'm not 100% sure on the contract, is being provided as built. So that's another thing that the retainage won't get paid till until we have as built plans from McLennan or Crow Clay, however that decides. So we're pretty well done with them. There might be one more invoice for $1,000 or something, but that should about wrap them up.
And that's it. No, this is a project that has gone on a while.
Very long time.
Because of delays and supply problems and things. I'm glad to see that.
We are open and we are seeing a substantial increase in revenue coming from opening those front sides. So
we've also gotten a lot of compliments at the office, at the support office. I don't know about Jennifer, but thanking support for the improvements, and a lot of people are saying how things it looks. So positive feedback.
Okay. That brings us to motion.
I'll make a motion to approve McLennan Excavation Progress Payment Number 8 for $26,522.74 for work performed March 7th, 2023 through April 11th, 2023 for contract.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and second. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Okay. That brings us to information items, starting with information I, electric vehicle charging, electric vehicle charging station.
Okay, so I had this company, FreeWire, actually reached out to me, and we did a Zoom meeting about what they had to offer. And our interest in putting electric vehicle charging stations down here. The reason I'm bringing this up here is just so we have time to kind of talk about it. When I talked to them, and this is from my stance is when I spoke with them, is that I think it's a great idea to start getting something established down here. It's not a great idea for the port. I said, because there's not an electric vehicle charging demand that we have here. One of these units to put in, it's about $200,000. And until the from my perspective, until the electrical vehicle era kicks off more, that the port being responsible for maintenance, upkeep, replacement, I don't see it as being a very profitable thing. I see it as a loss, actually. And right now, we can't take another loss on anything we do. So is what I did is I had a meeting. Coos Creek Electric has also asked me, you know, where we kind of stand on it. So I had a meeting with them about these charging stations. The only thing that was very unique, but there's multiple different charging stations, but what's unique about these ones is that it's a high, there's level 1, 2, and 3, which is basically a 10-hour charge, a 5-hour charge, and like a 10-minute charge. But to get those high-speed chargers, it takes 480 volts, three-phase electric to produce that. These ones can be ran at a high-speed charging rate off of a 208 two or 240 unit. It's a trickle charge in, high output out. So I talked to Coos Curry because they've also looked at this. And so I kind of nudged them in the direction of a partnership type thing, and more of it was leaning on that the, I think having a charging station here at the port would benefit the businesses. It's a good location. There's a lot of people that come through here. Is all I really want to do is create an easement or possibly lease the parking space and have something like Coos Curry own and maintain it, you know, until what I see a better opportunity for it to make sense for the port. So if and when something Coos Curry can find a place where they have existing power and they show willingness to do this, I, you know, obviously we'd bring it back and we'd talk about it more. There is grant opportunities through DEQ for these at 80% funded. That still leaves us with about $40,000, you know, up in the air for who's paying for it. Again, from my point of view, this isn't something I think the port wants to take on, but if there's a partnership that allows for one to be at the port for people to use this at somebody else's basically cost and expense for maintenance, I would be open to it, but I kind of wanted to see what the rest of everybody else thought.
I don't know much about these things, except I do know a couple people that have electric cars, and their biggest complaint is finding one that'll work. Apparently, they break a lot. So there sounds to me like there's quite a bit of maintenance that goes into having one of these units. And I'm talking, one of them has a Tesla, so they use Tesla sites. And the other one uses whatever they can find, and they're both equally broke down, it seems. So it just looks like that's an issue. And that's probably a combination of being new and the technology not being real clean yet. But I agree with you. I don't know that I would like to see us get into a situation where we're going to have to maintain one of these things all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, the thought comes to mind if we, you know, built the new RV park over there in the kite field, that maybe we could look at that as an opportunity to put one in. But again, I think from my perspective, the technology is new enough now that I'd be hesitant to make a big commitment on it, knowing full well that it's going to change. You know, they're looking at new batteries all the time and coming up with new systems that are more trustworthy, and then you possibly could run into an issue where the charging device itself has to change. And so I think it's a great idea. Premature, I agree with you. Somebody else wants to put one down here, we probably can find a place for them, but I don't know that that's something that we ought to do.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Who pays for the electricity that is used to charge one of these electric cars? Are they can't be free.
No, it's just like a gas pump is what it is.
Okay.
These ones, what I did, they actually have these at some gas stations more on the East Coast because it takes about 10 minutes to fully charge a car. And you put your debit card in there and they charge you the kilowatt hour, you know, whatever that might be. I think when they were saying it's around $15, $10 to $15 to fully charge your car. And another point with these things being here is that there's no other major, we're not in the electric vehicle highway area. And one thing that was brought up is how much maintenance and how effective are they in this coastal atmosphere, you know, being down here. The RV park was where they had at first said, I think it'd be great down there. So that thing will fall apart in 2 years. It will rust itself to the ground. So when I proposed it to them, I figured more in the retail area out towards, you know, out towards Lower Harbor Road. But when I was talking to them, I said, you should be talking to more places up and down the coast and try to establish where, you know, when you have electric vehicles, obviously your trips and plans are planned around where you can charge your car. Up and down our coast, I think there's one here in Fred Meyer's, and I think Bandon now has one. But there's just not enough of them yet to create a path. But if that opportunity comes back up, you know, it'd be something that we'd be interested in. But there is a whole lot more talk about these things, so I just kind of wanted to put it out there for now.
Well, given the brave new world, we're going to have them whether we want them or not pretty soon. And, you know, I don't know how much stuff will creep over the border. I have a friend in California owns a charter boat who's now had to re-engine his boat, so he's into two Caterpillar engines and transmissions to the tune of $175,000, and that's just strictly to meet their new air quality standards. So, you know, that stuff's coming our way whether we like it or not. But I would hold us at arm's length as long as possible.
Just out of curiosity, Travis, do you know how much space, I mean, assuming you have to have a parking space for the car, how much total space does it take per one charging?
Three spaces, so this unit that in
for
particular,
one charge, one car
could be one charge, it would be just a unit that would take up, say, a quarter of a parking spot that would be up front, and then they have I charge cords that go to the car, so you can charge two off from it at one time. So basically the way they laid it out, you have your charging station in one parking spot, and then each car can pull up alongside it to build the charger car.
So we'd have to give up
three parking spots for basically two charging stations.
But one of the issues I understand, this being America, we don't standardize anything. So the plugs are all in the same places on the cars. So you can figure, well, I'm going to make this to fit a, you know, whatever, a Tesla, and that's here. But if you pull a Ford truck in, it's an entirely different place. So there's an art, I guess, to how you have to build these things so that they can service everybody.
It's like having RV adapters for where you plug in. You don't know which one you're going to need, so you got your toolbox full of them.
Right, yeah.
Thanks, Lance.
Well, that's beyond our scope, but it just kills me that we're going to do this and not standardize the practice.
Get a cell phone charger.
Warming.
Why?
Okay. Anything more on electric vehicle charging stations?
No.
Okay. Let's move to item B, which is a letter from Henry Johnson.
So there is no letter. I didn't. I kept this as a placeholder. Apparently, he didn't get it done on time, but we can still talk about it. Is what he is looking at trying to accomplish is put a live feed camera somewhere in the neighborhood of our RV park bathroom that faces out towards the ocean that will live stream the fireworks when they're going on, and it'll just be a constant live stream thing that he provides. What he's asking for us is the location, you know, to be able to put one there. It will utilize our Wi-Fi system that we have down there, and we'll need an output to plug in the camera. Not any major impact to us. The revenue streams that he's looking at to be able to pay for the live feed is through advertisements. So a lot like our bar camera that we have, that when you pull that up, we do advertisements. Mm-hmm. He would be looking at the same thing. One downside that there is out there that should be said is that we do offer that type of service. We could change our camera to live feed the fireworks if we wanted to, but by him doing advertisements on a live feed camera with them that close, we are somewhat competing against ourselves, I guess, by allowing it. But I think it's important also that we're trying to attract kind of two different crowds. I guess our bar camera is mainly intended for fishermen and for people that intend to come here and use the water. This one would be primarily for advertisements of 4th of July, you know, trying to create some sort of revenue for the 4th of July fireworks. Once I get the letter and get some put more back together, of course, I'll bring it back to you guys for approval on this, but I put it in here to get any feedback if anybody has or any major no's or things to consider.
Who's going to install it?
Henry will. He'll buy the camera and he'll. Well, if it's on our roof, the mounting, I will put the mounting on it so the roof doesn't leak.
Okay.
We keep talking about 4th of July, but it sounds like it's going to be permanent after 4th of July. Is it staying up?
It will stay up year round, yes. He wants a camera that's there, so it'll be for the ocean, but the revenue generated from the advertisements will be for the 4th of July.
And after that, there's no revenue generated to us, the board?
There will be zero revenue generated to us for this camera. From what I've understand from Henry Krannick, I don't have his letter sitting in front of me, so he doesn't have it, but he's asking the port to put a live feed camera up on our bathroom for 4th of July fireworks and for funding for it.
So if that camera's up running full time, can we use that as part of our RV park advertising? Let people know on our website that if you want to look at the beach, you can get it on this website?
Oh, I'm sure we can. It'll be open for the public, for so we can put it on there. I don't know if it would be accessed through our RV park website. It might be on something else, but we could put something on our website that says you could see it. Here's go to this link.
You said we're going to give them access to our Wi-Fi link, whatever you want to call it, and we're going to provide electricity to it. So we, not that that's going to be a lot of money, but we're doing that gratis, free to him?
We will have Port of Brookings Harbor. You know, he did say that under the advertisement, part of it, you know, Port of Brookings Harbor would be put on it free of charge for it, for kind of the conversation and advertisement for the power. The cameras are next to no power, and the Wi-Fi system is up and running. We just upgraded it. We have plenty of bandwidth for this and all of our users.
Well, and if we could use it like I just mentioned, as part of our RV park thing, you know, one front row space per night, probably pay for the whole power expenditure for a long time.
So when I get more information back from them, I'll bring it back to you, and we'll look at what his actual proposal is and be able to see it. But I was hoping to have it, and so I left it in here, but at least we got to talk about it. And when I see it from him, I'll be able to talk to him before I bring it to you.
Yeah, because, you know, I understand it's for the fireworks, so then they're going to have to readjust it to look at something else besides the sky.
Yeah, I'd probably look out at the ocean and the bar and the boat.
I mean, it can
whatever.
Move, right?
Well, he hasn't shown me what kind of camera it is. I'm sure it'd be something you have to loosen a bolt and turn it, but I don't know what his plan for the camera is.
Oh, you'll find out.
She said it right. Okay. Then move to item C, charter and guide sign.
So if anyone hasn't noticed it, our three signs for charter and guides have been installed. There's one at the RP park, there's one by our port office, and there's one at the launch ramp. If you wish to have your name or your charter and guide that pay our fee to launch out of here, your name will go on there along with the accommodation to the charter and guide fish cleaning station, and there's a sticker that goes with it as well. But the signs turned out really nice. They look good. It took a long time for them to get here, but in the end, I think the wait was worth it. They turned out really good, and basically just a good thank you to the Oregon Coast Visitors Association who funded this these signs.
I've already got several people commenting how nice they're looking.
Very good sign. They did a good job.
Okay. Well, I would just comment, I had the opportunity last week to go to Newport and Winchester Bay and look at some of the ports there, and now I'm looking at ports in a different view than I ever did, and our port looks pretty nice by comparison.
We have a very nice port. I've been to every port on the coast, and we have something to hold our head high about. It's a nice looking port, and we do a good job.
And I'm continually appalled every time I go to Newport at how little space they have for cleaning fish at that port, the busiest port on the Oregon coast. And they've got three tables about this size.
As far as fish cleaning stations go, we by far have the nicest one I know about.
Yeah. Okay, well, unfortunately, now it's time for everybody to leave because we're going to go into an executive session. So I will adjourn the regular meeting.
Brett, thank you for coming.
Good night. closes. I'll wait till Joe comes back.
Goodbye.
She's got to put a thing on the door.
Yeah, the executive session.